Hey, what up, guys? It's me again. Welcome to the This Is My Moment podcast. I'm your host, Patrick Mitchell. And you know, here at This Is My Moment, we love having a good time. We love meeting new people, and we love to smile. And oh yeah, we on season two, baby. Let's go get it.
There ain't no stopping it. This is my moment. Join the movement. We bringing people together, bringing positivity, making changes for the better. Cause it's all
today. I got somebody on the line with me that I think is going to be super interesting. I can't wait to get into it. I can't wait to hear a story, and I want to see what's shaking. Introduce yourself to the family.
Hey, I am Mama Foxfire. My pronouns are she, her. I am a mental health advocate, full-time proposal manager, and a variety gamer, and I've had a lot of ups and downs in life that led me to raising awareness about mental health topics as an advocate.
Dig that. So you talk to me about Mama Foxfire. It's a gamer tag. What's your game?
Oh, gosh. I've got a lot of games. So I play a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Right now, it's a lot of a game called New World, an old game called RuneScape, and some Menu Masters, some Ark, 7 Days to Die. I play a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
You play 2K?
I do not, no. I am terrible with, like, with any sports games. I'm also terrible with first person shooters.
So that's the only one I got. So I can't name anything else besides 2K and Madden. So I'm fresh out. I don't know nothing.
You cover those, and I'll cover the other ones.
We win. Appreciate that.
There you go.
So let's get to it. So I'm reading up on you, and it says that you went through a lot of trauma, right? And that's what really caused you to get really into the mental health aspect. Before I talk about your mental health at that point, what kind of trauma did you get to? Or is that something that you want to talk about, or can we get into that?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, it really depends on which part of my life you're talking about. I lived through postpartum depression in 2013, 2014. I experienced anxiety and depression. I've kind of been living with those since 2015. And I also was in an emotionally abusive marriage for 10 years. And then in 2017, my grandfather, went missing, and that was a big family trauma kind of situation for us. So there's been a lot, of different kinds of traumas, but I'm open to talking about whatever you want to talk about.
Let's talk about PTSD. Cause I'm going to tell you why. Yeah. I suffer from PTSD. I suffer from anxiety and depression diagnosed. And the funny thing is, it looks different on everyone. And some people that I come in contact with, you couldn't tell. I'm a extrovert. I love talking. But you know why? Because it's therapy to me. Mm-hmm. It's therapy. And a lot of people don't know that about me. So family, when y'all looking, if you didn't know it, I do suffer from it. So I'm not talking about a subject that I'm not familiar with. I am very familiar with PTSD. So talk to me about your postpartum depression, man. Talk to me about that. And then talk to me about where you were mentally at that point. So anyone you want.
Yeah. So I had one child in 2009. And then fast forward to 2013, I had another one. Right. And with the one that I had in 2013, I wound up with postpartum depression. But I didn't know that's what it was. And so I, at that point, had a really good OBGYN, and she just happened to ask the right questions. And she said, you know what, I don't know if I can cuss on this, you are depressed as hell. So if you feel like you need some medication, we'll get you medication. We'll get you through this. It's a chemical thing. It happens to a lot of people. But at that time, nobody really talked about it. It was kind of a shameful thing. Postpartum depression, it felt like a failure on my part, as a mother. And so I did go on medication for that. And then it helped within just a couple of weeks. And then, like I said, I have depression, anxiety, as well. And I started struggling with those in 2015, unrelated to the postpartum depression. And those medication have not been helpful with. So I manage those quite differently than I did with postpartum depression.
You know, what's fun is, they gave me medication for anxiety and depression, right? And when I took them, it made me feel different.
Yeah.
Right? Like I can't say like walking in a fog, right? But I didn't feel upbeat. I didn't feel happy. Like I just, Like I just was, right? Like it wasn't no rhyme or reason to it. It was just was. I wasn't like I wasn't the best person. I wasn't the best husband. I wasn't the best father. I was just pretty much living just day to day, right? And one day I stopped taking them. It was like, well, it was maybe like 2 or 3 days, but I just stopped taking because I didn't like the way I felt. But what I noticed is when I wasn't taking them, I had to replace it with something. Because I still had that anxiety. I still had that depression. I still had that feeling. But I had to replace it with something. So I replaced it with talking. I replaced it with actually owning how I felt, right? And then finding people that didn't judge me when I talked to them, right? Like you just, you listen and you wasn't trying to, we call it putting your 2 cents in, right? Like you wasn't trying to put your 2 cents in. You was just letting me talk my talk. And when I started doing that, I was like, you know what? Man, I feel better. I feel a lot better. And then I realized that I had to have support, right? So I changed the way that I approached my depression and anxiety. I figured out what I needed to be successful as Patrick. And then I surrounded myself with people like that. How did you control and change your mental aspect when you realized what you had?
Yeah. So my, like I said, it was not related to postpartum depression. It was related to a life event though. So, right. I found out my husband at the time was having an affair. And so that's what kind of led to the depression and anxiety, which does tie into the CPTSD. So that's something that, it kind of dovetails and like they interact in such a lovely concoction of mental illness. But, for me, it was really mostly therapy. We did a lot of exercises in therapy, like journaling, but, my therapist was like, okay, you're the kind that's going to go back and read it. So you write everything down. We're going to tear it out and then you're going to burn it. Like that's how you're going to process. You're going to get everything out onto paper. You're going to burn the paper so you can't read it again later. And she was right. Like when I finally found a good therapist, she was so good at like calling me out on my stuff. It was wonderful. Yeah. So we did a lot of those kinds of things. And for me, therapy is really what got me through. And then after my grandfather went missing, I kind of hit that depression wall again where things weren't helping anymore. And that's when I really got back into gaming. And gaming with my sister kind of became a little bit of a self-care boost that I needed to really kind of help get me through things in the evening. You know, I'm a very high functional depressed person. So people at work, people can't tell from the outside. It's not like I have a broken arm in a cast. You can't tell that I am depressed completely and have a hard time getting out of bed because by the time I have to be up for my kids and for work, I'm in the day and I'm like, well, now I have to move forward. So it was one of those things at night though, whenever you don't have the things to that you have to move forward in your life. For me, at least that was a really hard time of the day. And so that's where gaming, with my sister and with friends really started to help.
That's what's up. Yeah. Do you have a strong support circle?
I have a great support circle now. In 2015, I know we're bouncing around a lot, but in 2015, you know, at that point, I had been in my marriage for about 5 years, about 6 years, and I was very isolated. I was very isolated from everyone and that was part of the emotional abuse was isolation. And so I really didn't have a support system. Like it was just me and theoretically my husband, who wasn't a support system at all, turns out. And in 2017, when my grandfather went missing, that's when I kind of started to get that support system back. And by the time I finally got divorced, I had rebuilt that support system. So now I'm very close with one of my sisters. I have a great community around me in the gaming community and the streaming community and the podcast community. And then I'm very close to my parents again, and I've got some of my good friends back again. So now I have a great support system, but I didn't for a while and it was really difficult.
I can believe that. I can believe that, man. I'm gonna tell you a quick story real quick. Yeah. When I got my PTSD in Afghanistan, right? Mm-hmm. And being in the military, they deploy you, they send you different places or whatever. And they sent me to Afghanistan. And I was gone from June of 09 to January of 10, right? I was gone. And at this time, it was real crazy down there. A lot of fighting. And I was a photographer, so I went out and I was going to these places, right? And I got mentally messed up seeing we got shot at, IEDs, all this stuff, right? And I came back. And on January 1st, my roommate attempted suicide when I was in the room, right? So I was real screwed up mentally. And come to find out, I was coming home. I was supposed to come home on January the 5th. My wife was supposed to deploy, go overseas on the 17th of January. So I had 2 weeks with her before she would leave. Come to find out that the guy that was in charge of us, he pushed us back. So we wasn't going to arrive until the 12th. But when he attempted suicide, he got medevaced. We missed our flight. So I got home January 23rd, 2010. My wife left January 17th, 2010. So for 1 year, I didn't see my wife. So I didn't have any support. So I came back with all these mental things, right? I still have my arms and legs, right? So I was blessed in that aspect. But up here, sometimes it's worse. Sometimes because I can't shed it off. I can't. And then, you know, what's funny about depression and anxiety is no rhyme or reason for me when it kicks in. Like, for me, it wasn't a trigger. Like, it wasn't, hey, oh, no, it wasn't that. Like, I could be sitting there, and next thing you know, I just go quiet. No rhyme or reason. Or I could be eating, talking to the kids, and next thing you know, I zone out. I used to have blackout spells. I would drive home and forget I was going home. Like, it was literally that bad for me, right? And then coming back and not having that support, right? It made it 10 times worse. So then when she came back and we really talked about it, I had to find myself again. Because for this year and then for those months of not having anyone to talk to, and for me it was being a man, so I should have been able to fix my way through it, right? Not the case. I was in the worst shape of my entire life for that year. The worst shape of my entire life. And then when I realized that I needed people, that's when I started to recover. But you know what it all started with? It started with me changing my mindset. It started with me reaching out. At what point did you change your mindset to say, you know what? Enough is enough.
Yes. Yeah. So first of all, I just want to say thank you for your service. And your story is very touching. And I am glad that you have made it through the way that you have, and you found something that worked for you. I think that that's really important. It's important to note that something that works for one person won't always work for another person. As far as when I decided to kind of change my mindset, I would say it was when my grandfather went missing in 2017. I think that was an event in my life that made me stop and go, what the crap is going on here? And again, because that was a turning point for me to say, all right, I'm all of a sudden able to get back closer with my sister. I'm all of a sudden able to spend all this time with my family, because work was great about, like, you go, you take care of what you need to take care of. And also because the theories around his disappearance are either suicide or murder, that's where I pulled that mental health component and said, look, if he hadn't been, because he was a retired fireman, and he had that very, like you're talking about, you got to be a man's man. You got to take care of everybody else. You don't talk about things like mental health. If you're struggling, you just kind of get your way through it behind the scenes. And so if he had either sought help for himself, or if whoever killed him, if he was murdered, and we don't know, we still don't know that to this day, had gotten help for whatever they were dealing with, then he wouldn't have gone missing. And so that to me is what brought in, like, okay, mental health really has this huge impact on everyone's lives. And especially at that moment in my life, it had such a huge impact. So I would say that event in my life was probably the main turning point for me.
Wow. Wow. That's crazy. Is your grandfather still missing?
Yeah.
Wow. So I'm sorry to hear that. And I wish you guys the best, and I hope everything is okay in the future. So from us to you guys, I wish you all the best.
Thank you. Yeah, we cross our fingers every day for new news and new information. And we have, I mean, all of the law enforcement agencies that have been involved have been good about communicating. Private investigators have been great about communicating. They're still working. They're still actively working the case. So I am sure we'll eventually have answers.
There's
no telling when that will be, though.
Yeah. Wow. And that's 6 years, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow. Yep. Yeah. Good luck. And I wish you all the best from the bottom of my heart. So it talked about you divorced and now you're a single parent of two, right?
Right.
Yeah.
How was it? What was your motivation? And I know I'm a parent. Kids can motivate you to do things and to become things and to grow into yourself quicker than anything, because at the end of the day, you have someone that's counting on you and depending on you. So it's mom and dad. We don't have time to sit there and sulk, because you know what? They don't understand sulking. They understand that we ain't got nothing to eat. They understand that we ain't got the lights on. When you made that switch and you decided to leave and whatnot, and you took them kids with you and it was just you, what was your motivation besides those kids? You know what I mean? Like, looking at them, besides that, what got you just like, you know what? I'm going to be the best person. I'm going to do it. What was that?
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
I mean, look, I do a lot of things out of spite. So yes, I do a lot of things for my kids. Unfortunately, I did originally stay for the kids, and I do not encourage that. Your kids know when you're in a crappy relationship, it affects them as well. But a lot of it is just my kids getting me through stuff because I have to be there for them. I am a single mom. I am the sole provider here. So being their advocate in school, you know, my 9-year-old has Tourette syndrome. My 16-year-old is transgender and has anxiety. And we live in Texas, where people who are different are in real danger sometimes. And so it's one of those things that I spend a lot of my energy on them. But then the other part that motivates me is just spite. Like, my ex did a lot of saying that I would never make it on my own, and I would never make it financially, and I would never make it emotionally, and I would never be able to make it, just in general, just never be able to make it, those kinds of comments. And so at first, whenever when we separated, it was like, well, okay, now I'm just going to get through every day until we get divorced, until that is finally done, which took a long time because it was during COVID also. But yeah, it was just one of those things. It was just like, well, I'm going to show him. And now I do it because I don't know how else to be. Like, how else do you be other than getting through every day and doing stuff for your kids and all of it?
Yeah. I'm in Texas too. I told you, we're down in San Antonio. And you're right, Texas, we don't play fair sometimes. It's real rough down here. And you gotta have thick skin to be a Texan. And and that's what it is. But the fact that you took that on, right, and you womaned up, right? And I come from a single parent household. My mom, you know, I talk about it early in my speech, is that my mom, she worked two jobs, right? And it was me, it was me, my brother, my sister. Me and my brother were 4 years apart. My brother and my sister 1 year apart. So I was always that person that knew things were wrong, you know. And then when she left, it went from really good to like really bad. Like, we went from living in a nice neighborhood to living in the hood, right? And it was just one of those things to where she just did her best, right? And even though as a kid, my expectation management was zero. Like, I just wanted what I wanted. I didn't know that she was struggling every night, right? And I didn't know that she was making sure that we ate, even if she had to do it out for a while. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know all of those things. But then as I grew up, right, and I'm like, man, my mom was real tough, right? And I may not agree with how she did business a lot of times as a kid because I was still in a kid's place, right? And I can totally understand how rough it could have got if you would have stayed in that place. If you was like, you know what, I'm going to just suffer through it. And I'll tell you what, I am a firm believer in sometimes you can be happy by yourself. You can truly be happy by yourself. And sometimes, man, that happiness is worth more than coming home to have somebody there or someone coming home to have you there. Now, we're not going to stay here. And I did this thing, right? I asked kids, which one to you is worse, emotional abuse or physical abuse, right? True story. And a lot of people was like, oh, physical abuse, because you can see it, right? And I'm going to tell you what. And I said, you know what? Everybody has their own opinion. True story. Patrick believes that mental abuse is more permanently damaging than physical abuse because you can't shed it off. I can get rid of a black eye. I'll put some ice on it, throw me a steak on it. 2-3 weeks later, I'm good. But this here, it won't shut off. So, yeah, so congratulations for that, right? Did you have any techniques? Did you have any tips and tricks that you used on those days when you sat back there, right, and it was rough, right? And ends wasn't meeting maybe or things had snowballed negatively. What was your technique to be like, you know what, I can make it through. I'm resilient. I'm tough. I'm her. What'd you do?
For me, a lot of it was, like I talked about, my therapist was wonderful. So a lot of these things came from her, but journaling did help. And then this happened just recently, actually, I had a horrible day. It was like one thing after another, something broke. I tripped over something. I got a bad email from the school for one of my kids. Like, it was just one thing. And then in the evening, I opened up the pantry to get out the pots and pans, and they came tumbling out. And I put two middle fingers up to the sky. I said I screamed F you. And my kids were in the living room, so they heard me. And then I walked outside and I told my kids, I said, I need a minute. And I went outside and I just stood there in the cold. It was chilly. So I stood there in the cold air and I just cried. And my kids know that I cry. I've got tissues. There's a box of tissues right back there. There's probably four boxes of tissues in the living room. There's boxes of tissues everywhere. I cry a lot. But whenever I angry cry, it is really like cathartic to me. So yeah, it's just like, get everything out, get a little bit of a reset, and you're going to be okay. Aside from that, I do a lot of reading also. That's something that helps me take my brain out of whatever I'm thinking, because if you're like me, you can do a thought spiral real easy, and it's hard to escape that stuff in your mind. And so reading for me is something that it just helps me remove myself from that situation or whatever it is I'm thinking about, and helps me calm myself down and stop thinking about that. And gaming is the same thing. Yeah, with gaming, it's just saying like, hey, I'm going to just play this game and immerse myself in it. And then we're not going to think about what's happening in the real world right now. And that's healthy to a point. You know, there is the unhealthy side of like, okay, you're completely avoiding everything. But sometimes you just need an hour to say, hey, I'm taking myself out of this situation. And then aside from those, I would say that it's really, for me, something that helps whenever I'm feeling bad is to help others. And that's not for everyone. Some people can't help others whenever they need help themselves. But for me, I could go on to a peer support forum and respond to some folks who are having, you know, not a crisis, but something that they were struggling with, and just say, hey, I see you, I hear you, I feel you, you're not alone, kind of thing. And so a lot of what I did to help myself was do what I could to help other people.
That's what's up. Give back. Yeah. Dig that. So before we get into the last part of the show, I want to tell you, keep up the great work. Keep up the great work. I'm gonna tell you, man, as a parent, as a depression, anxiety, PSD holder, I got the card. It's not easy, but You're doing it right, sister. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work. And I talked to a person today, and this young lady, she told me, she said, you know what? I don't bounce back. I catapult forward. And that's what I want you. That's what I want you to keep in mind. Don't worry about bouncing back. Worry about being better. And keep it up. Keep it up, man. And I'm extremely impressed, and I'm extremely proud to have you on the show. Thank you for that. Now, since we are at the end of the show, I like to play this game. And this game I started last season, and you don't have the answers because you don't know the questions, because she didn't send you these. I call the game Pick One. You got two options. You can only pick one. You ready?
I'm ready.
One game. Everything else goes in the garbage. What are you keeping?
Oh, it's got to be RuneScape. It's a game I've played since the early 2000s.
Everything else is trash. You keeping that?
Yep. Got to be that.
Okay. Okay. You have one sentence to tell somebody going through the same thing that you're going. One sentence. What do you tell them?
Find your tribe.
Find your tribe. Put people around you. That's it.
Yep.
Last one. I give you the phrase, this is my moment. What's the first thing that comes to mind?
This is my moment. I mean, for me, like, that's my kids. It's just every time they do something that shows that they are growing emotionally, mentally, socially, that's my moment where I'm like, yes, what I'm doing makes a difference, and that's what matters to me.
That's it. Mama Foxfire, we are done.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Don't leave. I'm going to close the show, then I'm going to come back to you. Don't just leave me. Hey, don't hang up. Don't hang up yet. Hey, guys. Mama Foxfire, she said it. Sometimes you just need to take yourself out of the place, give yourself some time to recover and recuperate, and then go back in it. Don't be afraid to separate yourself from your situation for a little bit. Don't get immersed in it. Come back to it, aggress it, grab it, and keep it pushing. And at the end of the day, go get it!
Join the movement, we bringing people together, bringing positivity, making changes for the better. Cause it's all about growth, all about success. We wanna see you rise, wanna see you at your best.